there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
Welcome to my travel podcast, Life's a Beach. Every week I invite a special guest to take us on a journey together to their favourite holiday destinations and to reveal their top travel tips and tales. He's been entertaining us on our screens for 20 years. From Little Britain to Britain's Got Talent, he's raised millions for charity, and to top it all, he is one of our most successful children's authors ever. And I'm so proud to say he's a friend of mine. Please welcome the brilliant David Walliams. Final boarding call for Mr. Walliams. Final boarding call for Mr. Walliams. That's David Walliams. David Walliams. David, please. Final boarding call for Mr. Walliams. Mr. Walliams. David! Get here now. Thank you.
You look wonderful.
No, I don't. I look so fat. What am I going to do? Do you remember you had a little chubby little phase, didn't you? And you've lost weight now.
Yeah, it was you only really 15 years. It was really from Little Britain's success starting and then me starting to go to restaurants, expensive restaurants.
I know,
it's an awful thing. And you start going, you never could afford to.
I know.
And then suddenly you're having 3-course meals.
I know.
And then you
before you go to bed.
Yeah. Well, you're sort of having a dessert. You think, well, I'm out at a restaurant for the fifth time this week. And, well, I'm here. I mean, I should try the dessert. I haven't had pavlova in 48 hours. So I've forgotten what it tastes like. Eat it. I mean, just the overindulgence.
I know.
And then alcohol, I mean,
tell
is me not a big
it.
Thing for me, but that's a big thing often, isn't it? You're just suddenly drinking wine and...
Because this is what I want to say about tasting menus. They make out that they are very oity-toity, and you are really something if you... But you're drinking a different wine...
With each course.
That's like binge drinking and binge eating. You're telling me, buddy, 8 for Moose Bouche after you ate a glass of wine. Oh, this is delicious. You know, it's insane.
So,
anyway, listen.
How does this start?
We pretend we're on a plane.
Do we?
Welcome on board, Alan Air. We've got David Walliams. Hello, David.
Hello. Lovely to see you.
Why did you choose Alan Air? There's so many of them.
I know.
Because I know you listen to the podcast and you know we
I love the podcast. I never miss it. Don't know where it's on. I don't know how you listen to it. I had no idea you had one, but... You're a comedian, so you have a podcast.
You
and
have
the podcast
to.
Involves you enlisting well-known people that you know to come on the show.
Yes.
And then is the money shared with the guest? Or
No, sadly, no money. No money, I'm afraid. No, but it's a travel podcast. We've had great people on it. We've had Michael McAdoo, Ramesh, Tom Jones.
That's wonderful.
Luke Evans.
How was Tom Jones?
He was absolutely brilliant.
He's wonderful, isn't he?
He told us this, because it's all about travel. He told us about Acapulco, and he said, Alan, I took all my jewellery off and put it in a man bag. He said, and I swam out, and he swam out too far. And he turned to God and he said, looked up and said, God, please, I'm out. I'm going to die. I'm losing breath. Please give me the strength to come back. So he heard this voice and then he swam back and he said, God intervened in Acapulco and got him back on the shore. I was shocked he had a man bag. But isn't that amazing?
That
he was
amazing,
really
like, yeah.
Talking about his lovely wife, Linda, and everything, and his new album's brilliant and everything. It was really nice. And different for me as well, because I won't go, all right. I was just sat back and listened to a legend.
Yeah.
A bit like what I'm going to do today.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I do like Tom Jones. He's just still got it, hasn't he? He's still so sexy. And
I know.
And I love, like, he's such a... such a big deal still.
And he came round my house as well, you know, and I said, we'll go anywhere, you know, because we wanted Sir Tom Jones on, and then he came round the house, so Tom was just here.
Well, he wanted to go to a normal person's house and see what that's like. You know, because he's in the celebrity world, Alan. Yeah. So it's a treat for him.
Obviously, I do my research for this podcast.
Of course.
I do. I put in David Williams holiday into Google. Some of the pictures that come up.
What comes
do you
up?
Always holiday with Elton John? There's a picture of him pulling his pants down, showing his ass to Michael Caine. Was you on that boat?
Yeah. Well, a sort of streak of mooning took over. Because I think we went past Simon Cowell's boat and I mooned Simon Cowell. Oh. And then and then Elton wanted to moon people. But Elton just doesn't care, which is what's brilliant about him,
he's
isn't it? Because
he,
you know, he gets his bum out. But we were coming in to the port and there was a whole group of people on a holiday on like a kind of tourist boat and we were waving at them, bonjour, bonjour. And then I mooned them and thought it was really funny. And then I realised that there was a bank of paparazzi waiting on the shore because it was Elton's boat. And it was and those pictures went all over like the sun or something like that. But you know, it's what people expect of me. So I mean, it's not surprising, is it?
But I just got a shock because I thought, oh, you know, do a bit of research. You maybe with a bucket and spade, you know, and then it's just Elton's arse.
Well, I went for a lovely holiday on Elton's bottom. No, but he's very sociable and he has a house in the south of France and he invites sometimes people to come and stay for a few days. So I'm lucky to have had that invite a few times.
Well, he's lovely. And there's a photo of us when we went to see him down in Hove. Do you remember up there?
Yes,
photo?
I do.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
I know.
Amazing.
What
I just
it was.
Love him.
I know.
It's so generous as well,
yeah,
isn't
he?
Yeah,
he's very generous with his time. Yeah. And obviously, you know, he's raised, I don't know, something like $500 million with the Elton Jane and his foundation or something. It's an amazing man, yeah. Amazing to pack that into a life, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I got that from the movie, you know, and also the book as well. You know, there's Mama Cass in there, Jimi Hendrix, and all these people like really from the past. And you're just like, wow, what a life.
Elton, Elton, show us your ass. Turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek.
I like a bit of culture, but you have to, if you're going for culture, you have to go with the right person.
Mm.
Because I did go to India. I'm not going to say who with. And she said, oh, well, we got there. The whole idea was of traveling India and seeing the Taj Mahal and the Lake Palace and all that. And when we got there, she went, I don't like sightseeing. And I was like, oh, that's what we're going to be doing. Exactly what we're going to be doing. I do like sightseeing. I like seeing different cultures. Mm. Sometimes people, if you get a guide or something, it can be quite funny. I remember being in Egypt one time and we were traveling along, me and a friend, and there was a guy in the guide in a car. He was going, to your left now is what is the best restaurant in Cairo. The name of the restaurant is TGI Fridays.
Okay.
It was true. I mean, that's what he said. I'm not saying it was the best restaurant in Cairo. No. But it was like, yeah, no, TGI Fridays. There's one off the motorway near where I live. I love different culture. Also in Egypt, I remember I was climbing up. Have you ever been to Egypt? Been to the pyramids?
No. Put my Paul went down the Nile and he said
well,
no, he never.
Of course he did.
No. Now, I love going on holiday with my Paul. He is the best travel companion. We spend the whole time laughing. It's just great. But he doesn't do any research.
You should go on holiday. Leave Paul at home.
Yes.
And we should sightsee.
And my Paul is a bit of a rebel. And we were in India as well. And this museum says no photographs with a thing.
Paul has never taken a photo of anything remotely cultural because it said...
No photos. He
started taking photos in front of the guards, and then he got arrested.
Arrested?
Yes, and had to pay 100 rupees or something. Oh. But you know, that's if Paul hasn't had a good holiday unless he's been arrested.
But you know, when he left Midnight Express, you know, he's always hoped that's what our holiday would turn after. But I remember
this is someone who slapped a mannequin at Las Vegas Two Swords, Madame Two Swords.
Well, whose mannequin was it?
Nicolas Cage.
Well, I understand that. Nicolas Cage's hair has been so weird for so long,
hasn't
it? Just
trying to knock it off.
Every time you see him, you go, what's going on with the hair, don't you? What's today's story? A bit like John Travolta. It's like, is it the wig today? Is it the plugs? Is it bald? What's going on? No, but I was in Egypt, and I was clambering up. Was it in the pyramids? And you could clamber up this little narrow tunnel that was completely dark. And I was clambering up that tunnel. I just heard this noise. Someone spotted me and shouted a Little Britain impersonation.
That was Anne, wasn't it?
Yeah, and everyone... I remember being in Egypt and all the people going, are you English? And they go, yes. They go, lovely jubbly. And you go, yeah, we haven't said that in England for a while, to be honest with you. But I love travelling. I like sightseeing.
But you want a guide, don't you, really, who doesn't go into too much information.
Too much detail can be really, really boring.
It gets boring.
My thing is, I think there should be holidays where you can go back in time. Because when you see an old movie, you know, like a kind of Murder on the Orient Express or something like that, don't you think, oh, I just love to travel back in time where everyone was dressed beautifully and...
I know, because you criticised me because I had jogging bottoms on and quite a stainy top. But I will,
Well, you've been wearing that for the last week. I mean, that's right. I like the idea of some glamour of travel. I was very disappointed when I went to Las Vegas.
Yes.
Because for the first time, because all the images I'd seen in Las Vegas, being a sort of fan of like 50s and 60s music and stuff, was, you know, Frank Sinatra at the Sands Hotel and everyone's wearing like dinner suits and stuff. And I was thinking, oh, I wonder if people are going to be really well dressed in the casinos. Cut to Americans with buckets of beer and flip-flops and shorts at midnight.
I know. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I thought this was going to be glamorous. But very few things are glamorous anymore.
Tom Allen did this podcast. He was absolutely brilliant. And me and him, we both left. We were having not a tough time, but just like growing up in suburbia. He was in Bromley. I was in Northampton. And we both went at 19, got a ticket to New York. And we were after glamour. And we were really surprised that it just wasn't what we want. I mean, our own ignorance and innocence, thinking that we were going to be there. Sometimes we just want a bit of glamour.
I know. And you wanted to be like, I remember going to New York for the first time. And I was about 20 and going to the Chelsea Hotel and obviously wanting to think, you know, obviously Andy Warhol had died years before, but sort of thinking, oh, I want that version of the Chelsea Hotel, and you go and it's just a bit of a dump and you go,
I know they're trying to knock it down, to convert it into flats, aren't they?
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I mean, that's got, is it Leonard Cohen, Joni Mitchell's got, and all of Velvet Underground, isn't it?
And yes, and
Mapplethorpe.
Patti Smith.
I don't think Joni Mitchell. I think she was quite a clean girl, wasn't she? Sid Vicious died there. Imagine that TripAdvisor review.
Don't tell me he's died as well.
You just want to go in the past. You live in the past.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping.
Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Have you ever been on the Orient Express?
No, but I'd love to take my mum and dad.
I wanted to take my mum, and then I couldn't because I booked the trip and she went on her own because there's a trip to Bath you can do it. But I would like a longer trip. I think the really beautiful one is meant to be, I think you can go from Rome to Venice.
Is my dream. And there's another one. You can go at Machu Picchu on an Orient Express. That's what it said.
Where is Machu Picchu?
In Peru!
Peru, right, okay. Well, I'd like to do that as well.
We can't do
it. But we might turn into the Peru too, if we do. And end up in a Peruvian jail.
I know.
Was it called a top knot or something?
Yes, yeah. But everyone was more intrigued about their hairstyle than the crime. I love people. Oh, did you say? Disgusting. I know her hair.
No, so quite an interesting story, actually. There's a new documentary on the BBC iPlayer about them, actually. Oh. And it's it's a very sad story in a way.
Yeah,
She was going to be paid £5,000. Mm. For smuggling £1 million worth of cocaine, to my mind, it doesn't seem like the right amount of money, does it?
No,
I mean, for the risk of going to prison for 15 years in Peru.
Yeah.
£5,000.
Oh, well, I can sort my hair out now. Bonjour, Monsieur Orleans. Bonjour, Mrs. Orleans. And welcome to the L'Express d'Orient. You know, if you want glamour, I bet you've been here. Palm Springs, Melvin's. It's where they invented the apple martini and Frank Sinatra got married there.
I've never been to Palm Springs.
Oh, it's
I would
great.
Love to go to Palm Springs. Yeah. I went to the Harry's Bar in Venice.
Oh, yes, that's
where
classic.
The Bellini was meant to have been.
Oh, okay, all right.
And that's a very glamorous place. I think sometimes also, I live in London and you sort of forget sometimes just to pop into like a London hotel because they are still quite... You know, if you pop into Claridge's or something and have a drink, and anyone can walk in and have a drink, as long as they don't mind paying £15 for a cup of tea. But, you know, anyone can walk in, and I think this is one of the few places which is still kind of properly, actually quite glamorous and beautiful looking. But I just wish people dressed up a bit more.
Yeah. Oh, I do. I know you're scowling at me now, but I do wear a jacket. I will wear a jacket.
I know you're very well dressed, but I'm just saying when you go out to restaurants and things like that, I sort of just wish people.
It does break your heart when you see a sign, no flip flops, please. And you're like, really? Really, you have to say that?
No, I like... that's why I like going to somewhere like Italy, because people are very well-dressed. If you go to, like, Rome and you get up on a Sunday morning, you see all just people, families, sort of parading around. And they're just... it's like a tradition, I think. And they're all wearing their nice sort of overcoats and jackets and dressed up really nicely and just sort of parading around and looking at other people dressed up nicely. It's a wonderful thing to see. But we don't see much of that in England. We see people with... football fans with flares stuck up their arse quite a lot.
Yes.
But not people dressed up in the way that we'd like.
Imagine going into a restaurant with a flare up your arse and saying, it didn't say, I only said no flip-flops. You were born in Wimbledon.
Yes.
Where do kids in Wimbledon go on holiday? Do you go on holiday as a kid?
I was lucky. I think the first holiday I went to a campsite in France. First holiday abroad. We also went to Swanage.
Oh, yes.
And we stayed at a little guest house.
Oh.
Me, my mum, my dad, my sister. And there was a basset hound that bit my mum on the bum.
Which is never not
wonderful,
funny.
Wonderful, yeah. And also, there was this, my mum and dad would maybe go out for dinner or something and leave me and my sister in the room, and they had this sort of baby monitor thing so they could hear us. And me and my sister, we thought we were on the radio because I could hear us, and we'd be doing like jokes and singing like 10 green bottles and things like that because we thought we were on the radio. So Swanwich, I've got happy memories of. Day trips to Brighton, I really love. And then the first trip abroad was to a campsite in France, which I sort of just vaguely remember. And then we went to some places in Italy, to a place called Senegalia. And I remember it was my birthday, and you know that song, the Birdie song?
Yeah.
That was somebody played it on the piano so I could dance to it because it was the only song that I liked. You know, when you're young. So, what songs do you like? I like the Birdie song. That was it. I suppose it was the Gangnam style of its day, wasn't it?
Yes.
Because that's my son knows that song. He's 8 years old, so he knows Gangnam style. Yeah, we had nice times. I started to, you know, like Italian food, obviously pizza and pasta and ice cream mainly. But our people there are super friendly. So I always feel like I always want to go back to Italy because people are really friendly.
And they're family friendly as well. Yeah. You know, they will pick up the child, go, oh, bambino, and all that. And,
yeah, well, I remember taking Alfred, my son, to Sicily when he was a baby. And there were all the waiters making such a fuss of him. Not like, oh, we've got a baby in the restaurant. The little prince. What would the little prince like? And I was like, oh, this is so magic. You know, you've made him feel really special and made us feel not embarrassed that we've brought a baby into the restaurant. Because when you have I mean, it must be like you with Paul. You know, when you bring...
throwing food around. I've wet myself.
No, you know, you feel a little bit embarrassed.
Paul, take that flare out your ass.
And so, yeah, they make a real fuss of you. And I remember going to a lovely hotel called the Hotel Splendido, which is in Portofino, which is one of the most beautiful hotels I've ever been to. And I was filming with Luke Evans, who I know have been on the show, Gemma Arterton, Adam Sandler, and Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, Murder Mystery.
Yeah, Murder Mystery it's called. And then Jennifer and Adam took us for dinner at the Hotel Splendido. When we were filming Portofino, and Cher was there, so we all met Cher as well. And Cher was with this lady called Laurie Rodkin, who's a jeweler. And Laurie Rodkin said to Cher, this is David. He's a friend of Elton's. And Cher went, well, thank you very much. What do you think? What do you think was said? It was like I didn't know what to say after that. I was like, right, it's a bit of a conversation stopper. But it's one of the best, and it was. I'd also been there when I was married, and it was like our wedding anniversary. And they were like, what would you like for dinner? We can make anything you like. It's sort of wonderful, isn't it? They really like looking after you, and they really take pleasure in like the waiters all beautifully dressed, and it's like a really great job for people isn't it? And so there's real pride in it. And I could see myself one day, I think, you know, living in Italy. I would really love to live in Italy because I don't speak enough Italian, but I just think it's such a wonderful country because I like going to France, but people are not as friendly in France. They can be friendly, but in Italy, I think they make such a point of it.
Yeah.
And then it's such an amazing culture, isn't it? You know, like Fellini movies and all that.
Because you want the glamour and you get it there, don't you? And I mean, you know, it's hard to take a bad photo because, you know, they it's just some of those towns up on those hills. Mm. We had the best time in Tuscany. It's just, you couldn't take a bad photo. And I look quite good in the photos for some reason. Mm. I don't know whether it's the sunlight. I don't know whether. But honestly.
You're happy.
What?
You're happy. That's what it
is. That's it. Yes.
And I think when you're happy, you always look great in a photo.
Oh, that's a good thing. God, I must be miserable looking at my Instagram feed. Have you ever been disappointed with a place? Now, we're not throwing anyone under the bus. You don't have to name it. But Amanda Holden, she hated Cyprus. Not because of anything Cyprus, but she was caught in a tornado. And from some of the photos, all her clothes got blown off. No, I'm joking. No, she said nothing about Cyprus. She was just caught up in a hurricane. And she also fell off an inflatable thing and broke her leg. So we're not saying let's all slag off a country or a town. But have you had a time where...
where I've been disappointed. I remember, you know, when you go to a hotel, they always say, did you enjoy your stay? And even if you had the worst time of your day, oh, yes, it was marvellous.
We'll be back.
Because you're British. But one time I experimented with the idea of not saying it was marvellous. I was in Australia and we were touring our Little Britain show. And we were in this hotel in Melbourne. And you know when you've been on stage, it's like you're not desperate to get up early in the morning, but I always like to go downstairs and get the breakfast. Mm. And it was one of these breakfasts, like breakfast is served till 9. And I remember getting down there about sort of 8:55, and they were like already clearing all the food away. And I was trying to sort of taking it out of my hand and everything. And so when they said, did you enjoy your stay? I went, well, I just got to say, I don't think you should take the breakfast away. Susan, and they looked at me like I was a bit mad, really. And I just immediately sounded so petty, like I was sort of just someone who liked piling their plate high at breakfast time and couldn't bear having it taken off me. So that's the only time I've ever complained, I think. And I immediately regretted it because I thought I just sounded awful.
Excuse me, Mr. Walliams, it's 8:59. Give me that fry up now.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
With Capella University's FlexPath format, you can set your own deadlines, learn at your pace, and access most coursework from anywhere at any time. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Going for your first ever run around the park. Literally running errands all over town. Running for the finish line and your personal best. If you run, you're a runner. Find the shoes and clothes to run your way at newbalance.com/running. New Balance. Run your way.
But if that was in Italy, they would have said, what do you want? And made you a lovely omelette that would have been delicious.
I know.
It's a bit of a sweeping generalisation. I know. Not all Italians are. But you get the impression. That's why.
Yeah. I've been to some places.
9 o'clock. Shit. That's not a lie. That's too early.
It's too early.
Because you want to lie in.
Yeah, well, you've been on stage till 10 o'clock at night. It takes a while
signing
to get
autographs
to sleep.
Till 1 in the morning.
Of course. We did actually like doing that, actually, after we toured. It was quite fun, but I remember we were in the town, I think we were in Leeds or something, like the whole week we were doing Little Britain, and some people came every night to get our autograph, and then it was like the Saturday night, and we had to travel somewhere else, and this girl who'd been there every night and met us like five nights in a row said, are you signing tomorrow night? And I was like, oh, I don't think we can actually, because we've got to get, got to drive straight to Blackpool or something like that. Oh, like that. Disappointment. And it's like, well, you've met us five nights around. Yeah. I don't know what more.
As if your autograph's evolved into something.
I don't know what more you want us to do. I mean, is it not getting boring for you meeting us five nights in a row?
Because I like meeting people at the stage door, but you're not at your best. You know, sometimes I'm so knackered, not in a wanky, I am so tired, but I am. And you almost get a lesser version of what you are on stage.
Yes,
and you're a bit,
I know. And I can
did
feel
you enjoy
people
it?
Are probably a bit disappointed meeting you sometimes.
There is something about that Barbara Streisand, Tina Turner, where they go, you don't see them. And I like that because I always feel, it's not because I'm being aloof. I always feel like I'm just such a disappointment. And they sort of want the show to carry on. And you're like, well, I'm absolutely knackered and they're making jokes and you're like, oh no, I'm pooped. But then you think, oh, and he miserable off stage. You know, I haven't been doing jokes for 2 hours.
I think that's where everyone says it, don't they? But also I think there's a weird thing when you see someone who's been on stage, you just keep on, when they've come off stage, you keep on just staring at them, like kind of in awe, and you don't really know what to say to them. Yeah. And so it's kind of embarrassing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, who have you gone backstage and seen and it's been exciting?
Celine Dion.
Wow.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Did with Adele. With Adele. Yeah, with
Adele.
I was wondering when she was going to get a mention.
I wish.
My mum always wants to go backstage afterwards, and then she often flirts with the actors. Like, we went backstage to see Jude Law, who just dunked in Henry V, and he was like getting changed and he had his shirt off, and he said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not dressed. And my mum went, oh, don't mind me. <Like that. laughs> It's quite good when you get to a certain age, you can sort of flirt outrageously with people, can't you? I think she's actually flirting with Jude Law.
Well, you're like me. You like to take your mum to things. And I took my mum to the ballet when I started getting a bit more famous and stuff. And you get these tickets to see these amazing things. My mum's never seen a ballet or anything. I said, Mum, there are going to be celebrities here. Do not approach them. Do not talk to them or engage with them. Well, of course, two wines later, she's grabbing at Rod Stewart's mullet. She's sitting in front. Rod! And who's that one who was, what's he called? Wolfie. Who's that actor who played him? Do you remember?
Oh, Robert Lindsay.
Yeah. Robert Lindsay comes down the aisle. Wolfie! at the ballet. I'm like, Mum!
Yeah, but the thing is, I think that people are normally really nice to mums.
Yes, yeah.
And so my mum, it's not as embarrassing as your mum, but I find that whenever I bring her to anything, it's actually a great thing because actually people are really happy to meet your. Is this your mum? And they, oh yes, yes. and they're super super.
We must get
friendly.
You a signed program and all yeah, that, and it yeah, where you don't yeah, want to ask because yeah. you'd feel a bit eggy. And it's yeah. yeah. But Rod was lovely. Just turn around. You all right, darling?
Yeah, like, I think he's really Rod. Good like that. My mum is a big Rod fan, and she's got to meet him a few times, and he was really nice. And I've got a wonderful picture of her and him cuddling. Yeah. Which is the most marvellous thing because it was like her whole life had been leading up to this moment because my mum had all his records and she obviously, for him, she was her Harry Styles or something like yeah. that, you know what I yeah. mean? Sex and we still looks great.
Yes, 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 yes. I know you're bored to the back teeth for talking about your swimming, but listen... Because it is a travel podcast, when you look at what you've done, you've swam places that people would get a ferry or an easy jet to. So yeah. it is quite valid. Now, this might be a silly question, but when you're going down the Thames, do you see any of the Thames when you're looking around or do you just get your head down? Do you ever go, oh, I might come back here?
Oh, definitely, because it was really beautiful. Before you get to Tennington Lock, you're swimming basically through the countryside. When you get to Tennington Lock, it's really London then. Yeah. But up to that point, and all these amazing houses along the river and pubs and restaurants and things like that, I kept on thinking, I need to come back to all these places.
Oh, so you did, yeah.
And so it was lovely. And actually, that was the challenge I enjoyed the most because people came out to see me because you could pretty much guess where I was going to be.
Yeah.
And so whole schools came out, whole towns.
Oh, nice.
It was really, really magic. And very beautiful as well. I think I did it in a sort of September time.
Yeah.
And so the weather was pretty nice and the river wasn't too cold. And I just got so well fed as well. Mm-hmm. And it was one of these things where you could eat, you really couldn't eat enough
yeah.
because you were burning so many calories a day. And so lots of people baked cakes and things like that and brought them and I could demolish them whole. It was the most wonderful thing. So I would really like a challenge like that. Where I could eat sort of 10,000 calories a day again. That's what I'm looking for.
Because you know, Comic Relief, that I've said this before, so people, fans of the podcast will know this, but they asked me if I would do a challenge. Of course, you know, I'm not very sporty. And
Should we do one together?
Oh, God. But I wouldn't mind doing one.
On a tandem.
That would be great.
That would be fun. Alan and Dave's tandem adventure.
And if we're going up a hill, stick a flare up our ass.
They're cycling from Hammersmith to Shepherd's Bush.
With a flare up their arse. It's like the Red Arrows.
Well, they like... I think the thing is, when Sport Relief started, it was sports people doing stuff. And of course, there's not much jeopardy because you expect sports people yeah. to be brilliant. What
yeah,
they
yeah,
do.
Yeah.
But comedians or, you know...
Comedians, I mean, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to skip round the M25. And they said it would be a hazard because people would
Run you over.
No, people would stop and look and cheer, thank you, David.
I think that's quite a good one. But let's think about
Let's have a think, because I need to, and also I need to lose weight.
Well, why don't we do Strictly?
Same sex.
That is,
But one of us has to be a dancer.
I am a dancer.
Oh, please. The birdie song doesn't count.
No, because that's a great way of losing weight, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they look amazing on there afterwards.
I know. But you've got to dance all day.
Yeah.
Also, Bill Bailey set this bar high now.
Yes.
He won it, didn't he?
Funny and good at dancing,
yeah,
you know.
Cause I know.
Because I wanted to be sexy, but I know I will be the Anne Widdecombe. You know, I will be the one dragged around the floor dressed as a matador. But I want to be sexy. And I went to Buenos Aires, and you know when they dance in the street, have you ever been there?
No.
They genuinely dance in street tangoing, and you're just
really?
Like, you know, when I go home, I'm going to learn how to tango because this is so sexy. And of course, you pull into Heathrow, and you're looking out Hounslow, and you're like, maybe I won't bother. But, you know, they've got the cobble streets there and the red wine, and people are cheering. Oh, it's sexy.
I know. I wish I could dance whenever I see people do it, because whenever I dance, people laugh. Even if I'm not trying to make people laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to go with it and pretend it was a joke the whole time.
You dance with my Auntie Betty at our wedding. She still talks about that to the day. Mm-hmm. She is the talk of Blue Water, you know.
She, after the dance, she became pregnant, didn't she?
She did. And it's weird to get pregnant through clothes, through a conga.
No, she's wonderful. I like dancing at weddings because you're not being judged at weddings, are you?
No.
And I like dancing with my son or with my mom or something like that.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
My dad used to dance by just waving his hands around. That was his dancing like that. He didn't actually really move. It's just his hands moved.
So
I've never forgotten that. But it's that thing of a desire to want to dance, and then when you get there, realizing a complete inability to dance.
Yeah.
That's what happens to me every time I see a dance floor. I go, oh, yeah, I want to dance to this. Oh, no, I've just forgotten I can't dance.
Lionel Blair taught me how to cha-cha-cha once.
Well, I'm sure he did.
Listen, it's not up there with your Cher and Elton John anecdote, but... We should talk about dog-friendly hotels. Now, how many dogs have you got? You got Bert and have you got Ernie?
I've got two dogs, Bert and Ernie. And Bert has travelled a little bit.
Yes.
Because when me and my ex-wife first got Bert, we didn't have our son then, and we took him on a couple of trips. We took him to Italy, which was really lovely. And we also took him to Montenegro. And Bert fell in love in Montenegro with this dog. We were staying on this hotel, which is... It's basically like a kind of island, and then there's a walkway to get to the mainland. Yeah. And there was this stray dog, this female stray dog, that was on the mainland. And Bert was obsessed with this dog, and occasionally we would lose Bert, and he would have escaped from the hotel, gone into the mainland so he could be with this dog. And they just spent the whole time just licking each other and stuff like that.
Oh.
It was the most wonderful thing. He was just completely and utterly in love with this dog, and this dog seemed to be in love with him. And it felt really cruel to drag him away, because I just thought, it's like dragging he was basically in the throes of passion.
Well, it's like Lady and the Tramp, give him a bowl of spaghetti, they'll be like, and then kiss
I know, him. It was the loveliest thing to witness, and I thought, oh, he's just totally, totally in love, and so he has to escape from us and go and meet her, you know, at night and stuff like that.
Oh.
It was the loveliest thing. But it was quite nice travelling with a dog.
We took Bev to Saint-Tropez, and she went to Saint-Consanc.
Oh, really?
There's a great picture of her wearing, like, a hat where, like, Joan Collins wears, laying on a sun lounger. I don't think some of the other people were so pleased, but it looks pure decadence. I mean, for an Irish setter, and she's got this lovely ginger hair, like Rue Lelenska. And she was like, sometimes it's nice to take them, and they act a bit differently abroad, don't they? It's like they know they're abroad.
I think they're a bit, and people generally make them feel welcome. It's in the UK, animals are not that welcome, are they? But I feel like... I don't know what they're expecting to happen when you bring in a dog.
Yeah.
I mean, dogs just sit under the table, don't they, when you're eating and stuff like that, and they just fall asleep.
And yet someone with flip-flops can walk in, you know, wearing Daisy Dukes and a stained T-shirt. Oh, please, here's the seat. And Bev's clean. Bev is a clean dog.
But I'd like to travel with my dog more because if you're American, you can have this thing, it's like a service dog.
Yeah.
So if you sort of suffer from anxiety or something, you say, oh, my dog helps me with anxiety and I travel with this at all times. And I think you can take them on a plane. But with you in the cabin. Do you know about this?
Oh, I'd love this.
Yeah.
Two Irish, they're quite big dogs, so Irish setter. And you clearly see she is not a service dog when she's helping herself to a panini from someone else's plate.
So, yeah, I've travelled a little bit with my dogs, but now I tend to leave them at home because I think the dog was a substitute child and now I have a child and now I take the child away.
Yeah.
And looking after a child is enough because when you have a child... Obviously, I love holidays with my son. They're the best holidays in the world. But it's not like a holiday used to be. No. There is no point taking a book that you think you're going to read or anything like that, or think you're going to do a little bit of work or anything like that, because you are spending the whole time with your child, which you love.
Of course.
There's not a dull moment. There's not a bit where you're just lying on the sun lounger and that just doesn't happen. But I love taking my son away places and, you know, him having a nice going to restaurants and things like that. Because it's something you do more, I think, when you're on holiday than I do in London. Yeah. I don't normally take him many to restaurants, really. It's not much need, you know. Because children, when they're young, they eat their food and then they immediately want to get down and do something else.
Yeah.
And so you don't want to
drag out meal times. You ain't having a tasting menu, are you, with kids? Yeah. But isn't it nice, though, like... Well, you do it with your kid, but I do it with my mum and my family. Take them to places that you've enjoyed as well, and so they can see it through their eyes. It's got to look at me being deep, but you know what I mean? It's true, isn't it?
Yeah, I like taking my mum away as well. She's had a really nice time on some holidays, and it's lovely sort of returning the favour. And I want to take my mum to Venice because it's her favourite place on earth, and she used to go with my dad, and my dad passed away about 12 years ago, and so I really want to. I've booked once or twice, we've booked and not been able to go, but I really want to take her back to Venice because it's her favorite place on earth. But I took her to a book festival in Italy, and I'm trying to remember the name of the town, it will come to me. So I took her for it was about 3 days, and there were 9 cathedrals there were 9 churches in this town. And we had to go and visit every single one because my mum likes churches.
Yeah.
But on the way to the airport, there was a Ferrari museum. And I said, we've been to see 9 churches. Do you mind if we just pop into this Ferrari? Well, how far is this place? You've dragged me around 9 churches. 9? In 2 or 3 days. Yeah. And so that's the only thing when you take an elderly person,
yes,
you might have to end up doing what they want to do and not doing what you want to do.
Because I was meant to take my mum to Florence, but because of COVID, we couldn't go. Because I love Florence and Venice are my favourite places.
I want to go in the autumn to Florence. Oh. Maybe we could do a mum's trip. We could probably get a series out of it.
Yeah, we Netflix.
Channel 5.
Yeah, Channel 5. Well, they do caravanning, don't they?
Yes.
With Cleo Rockus and Leslie Joseph.
How long have we got until we're basically doing barge holidays?
Caravanning. I love that barge one with Prue. Oh, Prue! Which she hasn't tethered it up properly. You know what I mean? The carnage on a barge. Oh, Prue!
What's the time? How old do you get until you just get asked to do things about, like, steam railways
or Marigold Hotel? We will holiday together when we're 80 in the Marigold Hotel.
Yeah, I know. I was really.
You've turned into Miriam Margolyes. Oh, bollocks!
I was very.
I'm
upset.
John Inman.
I was upset when they cancelled Last of the Summer Wine because I was thinking I was really looking forward to doing that.
Yeah. Well, you're more Golden Girls, really.
Yeah. I know. I actually liked the Marigold Hotel show.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was Britt Eklund and one of the Chuckle Brothers and a few other people. I loved it, actually. I really liked it.
It was really good. Yeah.
I love Britt Eklund.
You might not have an answer to this, but I know you're a real big James Bond fan. Do you ever holiday and go to places that have a James Bond kind of thing? Like in Octopus, it wasn't that in India? Because when I was there, that's where they filmed it.
I went to the Lake Palace and to the hotel where Octopussy was filmed, and I asked to see Roger Moore's bedroom at the hotel, and they showed me it. But I've always wanted to go to this place in Sardinia, because the first Bond movie I saw is The Spy Who Loved Me. Mm. And they go to this beautiful hotel called Cala Volpe in Sardinia. And so I saw the film when I was about 6 years old. And ever since that moment, I've always wanted to go to that. I still haven't been to that hotel. I booked to go this year, but I had to cancel because of all the problems with traveling. But I'm desperate to go there. And I would love to do a show which is going round Bond locations. Oh, it'll be a wonderful thing.
Yes, yes.
I mean,
yes.
For me.
No, I don't.
I mean, whether it's a show, I don't know, but it would be a wonderful thing to go because they do have these amazingly glamorous locations. And that was a time, you know, when those movies came out, especially in the 60s, people didn't travel very much. And so it was the only way they saw the world.
What about GoldenEye in Jamaica?
Yes, I have not been there and I would love to go there. Mm. And I'd like to see Noel Coward. Can you see Noel Coward's house there? Is it open to the public?
I think it is. The Trust is there. And it's not called GoldenEye. That's Ian Fleming's. What's his called?
Oh, well, yeah, GoldenEye was Ian Fleming's. I think Firefly was Noel Coward's. Yeah. There is an amazing Noel Coward story. Did you know that Rex Harrison was famously rude? It's one of my favourite stories, and it's so funny. And that a fan was coming up to Rex Harrison asking for his autograph. And Rex said, "Get out of my way, get out of my way. I just need your autograph. I've been waiting out here for hours. Get out of my way, little man." And the fan was so annoyed, he slapped Rex Harrison. And then Noel Coward said, "A rare occasion of the fan hitting the shit." There's no cowards of the funniest people who ever lived to go on that. It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your pilot speaking. If you would like to put your trays up, put your seat in an upright position and pop on your seatbelts. We are about to fly into Italy. I hope you've enjoyed flying Alan Air.
Mojito or mint tea?
Mint tea.
Thong or sarong?
Never worn a thong, but I want to.
Okay. Amazon Prime or Amazon Hike?
Amazon Hike.
Honeymoon suite or hammock?
Honeymoon suite.
Local tuck or foreign muck?
Foreign muck. I like foreign muck.
Okay. And then tip 'em or fuck 'em, which is basically you've had good service all week and you're like, shall I bother tipping them? No, I won't see them again. Fuck them. Do you leave tips?
I fuck them and then tip them.
Thank you, David, for flying Alan Air. Thank you.
It's been such a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
I feel that we have a travel series in us.
Listen, either doing that, either the Marigold Hotel.
We're not there yet.
Or the James Bond, if you want a bit of eye candy.
You could come as the Bond girls. You could dress.
I could come out of the sea like Ursula Andress. You'd throw me back in, but I could come out.
it would be a wonderful thing to do. Us and our mums.
Listen,
on the Orient Express.
Yes. Let's hope there's not a murder.
Thank you for flying Alan Air.
Well, that's the end of season one. We'll be back later in the year with more fabulous guests telling us all about their travels. Thank you so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. If you'd like to subscribe, do. And we'll see you later in the year. Thanks so much. And remember, life is a beach.